Welcome to History Class After Hours. I'm Joseph Barron. Brian's back.
I'm back.
He's back after a couple episode hiatus.
I haven't been able to. I'm sorry, but I'm back now.
You haven't been able to learn about Lincoln's assassination and the rest of Mary Todd's life, which was very sad.
I can imagine.
Yes, it was very sad.
Yeah.
But we kind of alluded to this story when we talked about the assassination of Lincoln. Did John Wilkes Booth live?
Maybe.
There's some people that believe he lived. All right. So that's what we're going to talk about.
Nice.
Is who those people are and why they believe this. Because I guess this is an actual thing.
Oh.
I never really thought about this until I read a book this summer.
Okay.
I never crossed my mind that John Wilkes Booth lived, but I guess this is a thing. So
yeah, I would have thought that either until you mentioned it to me one day. I was like, oh man, that's real.
Yeah, it's a real thing. So a couple of weeks ago, we alluded to the fact that some people think that Lincoln's assassinator survived and was not killed outside the barn in 1865 that most of us believe happened. Some believe he was acting on behalf of the Confederate Secret Service, who then helped him escape. Ooh. Those who make this claim believe there was a lookalike in the barn that day to throw off Union officers. Booth's family members have claimed for decades that John Wilkes Booth actually lived a long life. Some say until the late 1800s, some say into the early 1900s. So there's varying claims here. A distant relative claims that when she was a little girl, her mother shared the truth on how he died. Quote, "They are going to say he died in a barn. He did not die in a barn. He lived for many years," she would tell her. Under this theory, it's believed that during his escape, he stopped at the house of Dr. Mudd, who helped set his fractured leg. We talked about that during the assassination episode. There, he shaved his mustache and probably colored his hair. From there, he went to Virginia, where he stopped at the famed Garrett's barn, where he was supposedly killed. Some believe, though, he was never at that barn, or if he was at that barn, it was only for a short period of time. So the question then becomes, who was in the barn? Because they obviously shot somebody and claimed it to be John Wilkes Booth. Lincoln assassination scholar, I didn't know there were such things. I believed it was a closed case by now. Joan Chaconis believes this is how the events unfolded that night. She says, 26 Union officers surrounded the barn where Booth and co-conspirator guy with last name Harold were hiding out. Harold begins to freak out. He's like, oh, we're surrounded.
I would be freaking out too.
Yeah. And wanted to surrender. Booth, being the stage performer, is poised to hold out by himself and basically tells Harold, go. I don't need you. Harold leaves and is immediately taken into custody. And within 10 weeks, he is tried and hung for being a co-conspirator of the assassination of Lincoln. At this point, Booth is ready for the performance of his life. One of the soldiers sets fire to the front of the barn to flush Booth out. Another soldier, seeing Booth in the back of the barn, fires a shot at him that hits him in the back of the neck. And as the story goes, within 3 hours, he will be dead. As Booth is dragged out of the barn, though, Harold begins asking Army Lieutenant Edward Doherty, who was the man that was shot in there? Who was he?
So, did they just not know his face, or do people think it's like...
But apparently, Harold doesn't know who this guy is, based off of this account. Doherty replied, well, you know very well who that was. Harold responds, no, I don't know who that was. He said his name was Boyd. I didn't know it was Booth.
Oh.
And then Chaconis goes on to explain, or takes on this approach that, like, why would Harold be lying about this? He's already surrendered himself. He's got, like, nothing to gain from this. Speculation grows when it is said that the body dragged out of the barn didn't even look like Booth. Three different witnesses said the man killed in the barn had red hair. Booth was known to have jet black hair. But then, again, the story starts off with him dyeing it, so maybe he dyed it red. Who knows? Can you dye your hair red from black?
Maybe.
I don't know how that works.
I don't think so. I mean, you probably have to dye it, like, bleach it first.
Maybe.
Did you bleach your hair back then?
I don't think so. Like, I don't think they dye.
Probably.
Some believe that Booth left the barn 2 days before the army got there. Belief was that it was the army's best interest to produce any body that they could find. Not anybody, anybody.
Yeah.
All right. The reward money was over $1 million in today's value. I think it was about $1.3 million. And Edward Stanton, who was the Secretary of War, had a lot of political pressure on him to basically bring Lincoln's assassin to justice. So Booth researcher Nathan Orlwick believes that Stanton may have gone to a large length in order to close the case. And the question becomes, did Stanton place a Booth lookalike in that barn to claim it was Booth?
I mean, I feel like you can definitely make an argument that it was. Like, you can totally see that there's reasoning, like, with the political pressure.
Yes. That he would do that.
Yeah.
Correct. Also, then they don't have, if the army kills Booth, they don't have to pay the $1.3 million.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there are some, I guess, little nuggets there that maybe has this thing have some legs. Orwick argues that John Sidmonton, who served at the office of the Judge Advocate General of the War Department for 43 years, claimed, "I studied the evidence in the case and found no definite proof that Booth was ever captured." So that's a pretty high-ranking government official. So then this brings up another question. Who is Boyd? Who is this Boyd guy that Harold was talking about? It may have been Captain James W. Boyd, who was a Confederate soldier that was at the time serving as a POW. He was directed to transfer to D.C. under the personal request of Edward Stanton. Kind of a weird request from the Secretary of War. But in reality, he was a Union spy that gathered information on smuggling operations in Tennessee. However, 2 months before the Lincoln assassination, Boyd disappears from all records. There's a picture of him, though, in the National Archive, and he looks just like Booth. Only difference is the hair color.
Was his hair
red? Yes. So Orlick thinks that maybe this Boyd guy was the guy in the barn. So the question becomes, did Boyd become the fall guy? No one really knows. The autopsy of Booth did not clear up any of the confusion. His body would be brought to the U.S. Montauk, which was an ironclad ship. 13 people were present for the autopsy. All were connected to either the Naval Department or the War Department. All right. One photographer was presented and only took one picture of the body. The negative was handed directly over to Stanton, and then it was lost.
Is this like actual lost or quotation marks lost?
Quotation marks lost.
Ah.
Yeah. To complicate matters, Booth's family wasn't even allowed to see the body. There were several conspirators on the Montauk that night, and none of them were brought to identify the body either.
Yeah, a lot of this is definitely like pointing.
Yeah, there's some red flags here. Booth's personal doctor was eventually brought in to identify the body and said, "This body does not look like anything like Booth. It has freckles. I don't recall him being as this old either."
Well, when was the last time the doctor had seen him?
That's a great question.
Because if it's been like a couple years, then, you know.
Naval historian Jan Herman believes that the doctor was pressured to identify the body as Booth out of fear that he would be implicated as part of the assassination plot. There is a way to tell. During the autopsy, of a piece of Booth's vertebrae and a piece of his spinal cord were removed, and those are still currently housed at the National Museum of Health and Medicine, which is also the home of Dan Sickles' leg.
Yes.
Gotta go to that museum. DNA can now be extracted and compared to that from the body of his dead brother, Edwin, who is buried in Massachusetts. Booth's descendants have requested that the body be exhumed, but the courts have refused to allow this to happen.
That, like, I feel like it's, like, today's courts.
Today's courts. Yeah. This is, like, recent. Like, this is, like, in the last couple of years, the courts have refused to allow this to happen.
But, like, why would they do, like... Is there just some, like, really widespread government memo?
They're,
like, don't do it. Don't do it.
Their argument is they say, one, they're not sure if it's Edwin's grave. They're like, he was kind of buried in, like, a pauper's grave. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't necessarily identified properly. So I don't know if it's actually him or not. The other thing they said is because it was a pauper's grave, like, three children were buried on top of him or something, and their DNA may cross into his or something. Yeah. That's what their argument's been. All right. So next question becomes, if Booth lived, where did he go? One theory is that once he realized he wouldn't be protected in the South, he took on an alias. It's believed one could have been John B. Wilkes. Clever name.
Was that like a real person? John B.
All right. Chuck Huppert, who is a Booth researcher, says he stole the identity of an Englishman in Indiana named John B. Wilkes. He stole his identity and traveled to India, where he would die in 1883. Huppert believes that Booth returned to the U.S. in 1873 to visit, and there's pictures to prove it. Other evidence in which he brings up is that John B. Wilkes left a will that contained special bequests to people who were friends and family of John Wilkes Booth, including $25,000 to his daughter, Ogarita Rosalie Wilkes, who was daughter from his marriage with his wife. Also, $25,000 to Mary Louise Turner, who was another daughter of John Wilkes Booth, but this was of his mistress. Both were titled Natural Heir of My Body. Only problem with this is the will wasn't signed. So there's no way to say, like, oh, this is John Wilkes Booth's signature or something like that. And the photograph can't be verified. So that one's kind of sketchy. There's some sketch to that. The other alias may have been a man named John St. Helen, who possibly fled Texas. It was believed that Booth arrived in Franklin County, Tennessee in 1872. There he fell in love and married a local girl named Louisa Payne. Apparently he told Louisa that he would love her forever and that he assassinated Lincoln. Louisa thought nothing of it. She's like, oh, you kidder. You didn't kill the president. You jokester. Blinded by love, I guess.
Yeah.
What did upset Louisa, though, was when she realized the man she married actually went by a different name. She demanded that they go to the courthouse and get married using Booth's real name. The courthouse marriage register clearly shows the signature of John W. Booth. A living relative of Louisa Payne said her great aunt married Booth, but it was before Louisa was told about his true identity. Newlyweds would move to Memphis, but Louisa would return home to her family because she was homesick, and then Booth just didn't return. Just kind of left her. That's when he may have made his way to Texas. As John St. Helen, he would go to Granbury, Texas. On his deathbed, St. Helen would confess to killing Lincoln to a lawyer named Finis Bates. Assuming that's how you pronounce that. F-I-N-I-S. Is it Phineas or Finis?
It's probably
Finis. St. Helen would recover, though, and move to Oklahoma. Finis is like, where'd he go? There he would assume a new alias, David E. George, which was a combination of two of Booth's co-conspirators, David Harold, who we talked about earlier, and George E. Azarot, who both of them were hung. So we just combined their names.
Yeah.
All right. In 1903, Bates would see an obituary of a man from Enid, Oklahoma, that was claiming to be John Wilkes Booth. Bates went to the mortuary and identified the body of John St. Helens. To make things more bizarre, David E. George had committed suicide by drinking arsenic, and when that combined with the embalming fluid, it actually mummified his body.
Oh, man.
There's pictures of it, of his mummified body. Bates, somehow he just kind of took the body. Took it home with him.
Like, how do you do that?
No one claimed it, so he did.
Huh.
And he just took it home with him, and then he tried selling it. He actually
is that legal? Like,
I
can you sell a dead body?
I guess.
Dang.
I didn't think it was, but he offered it to Henry Ford for $1,000, and Henry Ford is like, "Why?
Like, what would you do with it?
Oh, like, why do I want this mummified person?" He's like, "But it's John Wilkes Booth."
Put it in Fordlandia, then it might have a purpose.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, go listen to our Fordlandia.
Fordlandia, episode. Yes. The mummy would stay in Bates's garage until he died in 1923. That smells great. Especially living in Texas.
Oh, man.
All that hot, humid air. Yeah, it's probably great.
Air conditioning not invented yet.
His wife.
People don't air condition their garages anyway.
Oh, they didn't have air. I don't even think they had air conditioning in
1923. Yeah. What?
1923?
Did they have it?
I don't think so.
Yeah. No, I was saying, like, and without air conditioning.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, people don't usually do that. Anyway, yeah.
But anyway, his wife finds a buyer.
Really?
She sells it to a circus.
Oh, well, I mean, of course it's a circus. Like,
which it will remain there until 1970, parading around the country, being displayed as John Wilkes Booth.
Huh.
And then it vanishes. No one knows what happened to it. But like I said, there's pictures of it.
Okay.
Yeah. So was that John Wilkes Booth? No one really knows. The only way to really find out if Wilkes Booth survived is to get the body of his brother exhumed and compare it to the DNA that they have at the museum. That's the way to get down to this. But who knows? Conspiracy theories. So did John Wilkes Booth live or did he not?
We may never know.
We may never know. Until someone digs up Edward. All right. So we are done with the Lincoln saga.
Yep.
We are officially done with it. Join us next week as we'll talk about the Emu Wars.
Yes.
Birds. Birds.
And
Australians.
Two things that a lot of people like, I think.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to History Class After Hours, the show where we talk about the things your history teachers didn't have time to teach you. If you wanted to stay updated on upcoming events for the History Club, please visit www.starsmillhistoryc.wixsite.com/2020. If you liked this episode, please share it with your friends and subscribe to our channel on iTunes Podcast, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. Be on the lookout for new episodes, and we'll be posting every week. Until next time, stay curious.